And this morning, this is a completely new title for me because I've not actually spoken around this before, but it's come quite forcibly in my spirit, and I believe it's going to be really relevant to a lot of people as we hear this morning. The title of my message is this, and I want you to receive this before I say it, you know, as a real word of encouragement, okay? Because that's what God is going to do this morning. He's going to encourage us. The title of our message is this: don't let your adversity become your identity. Let me say that again. Don't let your adversity become your identity. Are you starting to grasp where I'm going with this morning? What I mean by that statement is, don't let the challenges you face, no matter how great, so preoccupy your thoughts, your conversation, your decision-making processes, your attitude to life, even your faith, that they become who you are, rather than something that you're going through with God. Amen? See, when our adversity becomes our identity, a number of things happen, which I'm going to highlight. One of them is, instead of saying concerning, say, a broken relationship, you know, instead of saying, I've been through a divorce, you might say, I'm hopeless at marriage. Instead of saying, I made a mistake in relationship, you just say, I'm just bad at relationships. Instead of recognizing a bad financial decision, you say, I'm just hopeless with money. Amen? When adversity becomes our identity, it can cause us to lose hope for any change for the better. We can easily end up letting our struggle run our lives because we think it represents who we are, and there's little possibility of change. When our adversity becomes our identity, we can lose our peace, lose our hope, and our faith in God, the God who says who we are in Him. Amen? So here's a question. And I'm going to say this a few times, all right? I'm not belittling the things that people go through. If anything, I'm highlighting them. I'm not belittling the challenges that some of you are facing and that I may need to face even this week because we just don't know. But I want to ask you this question. Are my adversities changing the person I am, or is the person I am changing my adversities? Let me say that again. Are my adversities changing the person I am, or is who I am changing my adversities? Now, this question is relevant to everyone in society, but it's particularly relevant to those of us who have a relationship with God. You say, why? Because who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? And without, you know, without being big-headed or seeming super spiritual, it means that you and I are different if we're in relationship with God. Amen? The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, everybody say in Christ, he is, she is a new creation. The Bible says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. And that world, that word means the eternal world, literally translated, the world of the spirits. He has seated us in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's our position of authority in God. The Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And he's talking to a people who are going through tremendous adversity at the time. He's saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 Peter, Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people. Amen? You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. That's who you are. You are the special possession of the infinite, all-powerful God. That is who you are. Amen? You see, friends, whatever you have been through, that broken relationship, whatever you are going through right now, that long-term illness, whatever you may face in the near future, that is not who you are. Who you are is God's special possession. So you are not hopeless in relationships. Amen? You are not a fearful person. You are not a nervous wreck. You are not hopeless with money. Amen? You are a child of God and God's special possession. That's who you are. Don't let your adversity become your identity. Amen? The Romans 8 says this. Now, if we are children and we are heirs of God, then we are co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The Message version puts it this way. God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. Amen? We know who He is. We know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get an unbelievable inheritance. Believers in Christ, that is who you are. Amen? You see, so for those of us who are believers, let me take this a little further and ask you this. Are the challenges of life changing the person that you are for the worse, or is who you are in Christ changing your circumstances for the better? You see, friends, it's important because we're all on this planet for a short period of time. We're all on this planet to bring the kingdom, the love and the life and the power of Christ in every circumstance and situation that we go to. The kingdom of God is in me. We are here to bring the love and the life of Christ into every single situation. And adversity, while it's not pleasant for us, is a phenomenal opportunity for us to demonstrate that God is in our lives and we are different as human beings on this planet. Can I hear an amen? So number one, if you're taking notes this morning, the promise of God is that you will all go through adversity. Jesus said, Jesus said to his disciples in preparing them, he said, I have told you these things, John 16:3, so that in me, everybody say in me you may have peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding only comes from us being in Christ Jesus. Amen? He's preparing his disciples. He says, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, Jesus said. Amen? In this world, you may have to... The promise of God I want you to take home this morning, friends, is you're going to have trouble. Amen. Oh, thank you very much. I'm feeling very encouraged already. The Bible says that, but Jesus goes on and he said, but, amen, in this world you will have trouble, but I have overcome the world. And because Christ has overcome everything this life has thrown at us, he has promised that we can know the peace of God in every situation. When my friend was preaching this, he said, and he didn't realize what he said, but he said, friends, don't you thank God for all the big buts in the Bible? In this world you will have truth, but, amen, but I have overcome the world. And Jesus was preparing his disciples for the biggest, greatest challenge that they were going to face, which was the cross. He was preparing them for the pain of the cross, the confusion, the opposition, the loneliness, the bereavement that the cross would bring. He knew they would not understand. He knew they would struggle with doubt and disappointment. He was preparing them with truth to come out the other side victorious. We're all going to have things in our lives, friends. And I'm conscious that some people are facing some tough adversity right now. Some's going to last for what seems a long time. Some is going to be long and painful. Some of those things are going to take time to change for the better. Many of us are finding that in our senior years, they bring unique challenges. Would you agree? And I want this message to be one of hope. Might be the mistake that you made and you regret. And things have never been the same since. It seems you can't buy back the time. Might be, as I mentioned earlier, a bad financial decision. You may have gone through a painful relationship breakdown. You may have gone through a painful divorce situation. You've experienced the betrayal and the pain that goes with all of that. You may have been deeply emotionally hurt. And even after many years, you find it hard to forgive the person involved or to forgive yourself for ever allowing yourself to get in that relationship in the first place. It may be you or someone you love may be going through a long-term illness. The challenges of life are so varied and they bring with them adversity. When this happens, it's easy to be so preoccupied with the adversity, it becomes who we are. It changes us into something that God never intended us to be. It's no longer a problem we face, it becomes our identity. Rather than being a loving person, you become an angry person. It's not who you were before this. But because this stuff has happened in your life, that loving person can easily flip into an angry person. I had to deal with something like this in my own life, with somebody who caused a lot of pain for me and to people that I love. Every time I heard that person's name, I would jokingly talk about strangling them, things like that. You know what I mean? You're all too holy for this, all right? So I'm from up north. It's what we do. Every time the name came up, you know, I said, well, it's a good job they're over there. It's a good job. And I realized this situation is undealt with. Because that's not who I am in Christ. Amen? And you have to go back to the cross and say to Jesus, this is not who I am in you. And release forgiveness. Amen? See, the amazing thing is, you can be in a room with a person going through the most severe trials in life, and you go there to encourage them, but you come out of that room feeling more encouraged yourself. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen? You see, that's a person who has refused to allow their identity their adversity to become their identity. Amen. So number one, we're going to go through adversity. Number two, the challenge of being who we are in Christ through adversity. It is a challenge. It is a challenge, friends. There is a right and a wrong way to face adversity. There's many examples in the Bible, but I just want to pick up on the Apostle Paul, because God, as I was reading this, God spoke to me about through what happened to Paul. The Apostle Paul is teaching in the temple, and an angry mob comes in and drags him out to kill him. And for the next 4 years, he's facing the greatest challenge in his ministry. One minute, he's traveling the countryside, seeing the miraculous. In meetings like the one that I described, Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed, and the man was out of the chair and walking. One minute he's in that mode, the next minute he's dragged out of the temple by an angry mob. And you see, friends, I'm not talking to you this morning about kind of, can I say, an empty triumphalism. Amen? I'm not talking to you, you know, like some preachers would say, you know, well, I just don't face trials. I just speak to my mountain and cast them into the sea, brother, and that's what you should do. Friends, that's not biblical. This man's one of the greatest faith preachers and ministries, possibly, that the world has ever seen. And he's being dragged out of the temple. And the Bible says that he was in fear of his life, and he narrowly escapes being killed by surrendering to a group of Roman soldiers who put him in chains and dragged him off to the Roman court. And this man is a great faith man. Amen? See, Jesus knew that we would go through adversity. You see, being a man and a woman of faith, I would see myself like that. I would see myself as a man who believes in healing, in deliverance, in authority over Satan and all the works of darkness. But I know that being that does not exempt me from going through adversity. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And they drag him off to prison, and for 2 years he ends up in chains in a jail. They then drag him back to Jerusalem, where he stands trial, is convicted, and he's then another 2 years put in house arrest. Now, watch this. He's writing. Now, this is the amazing thing, and the point I want to make is this. When he is in his worst point of adversity, and he's in chains in that jail, at the worst point of his adversity, he writes to the church. He writes to a few churches, but one in particular in Ephesus. He does not call himself a prisoner. Do you know what he calls himself? An ambassador. He refused to be defined by his adversity. He calls himself an ambassador. He says to the church, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and keep on praying. And pray for me. And pray, he says, pray also for me. He doesn't pray to be released from prison. He says that any time I get an opportunity to fearlessly declare the gospel of Christ, that God will give me boldness to declare the gospel of Christ, for whom I am an ambassador in chains. I'm not just in chains. I'm not defined by this adversity. I know that God, if he chose, could get me out of this like that. He says, I am an ambassador in chains. He never allowed his adversity. When tempted to be defined by his adversity, he redefined his adversity. He's not hiding the fact he's in chains. He's not pretending. He's not like, you know, I just take my faith and blow the mountain down. It's just not happened to me. I am in chains. Amen? You are going through pain. You are suffering a long-term illness. Someone you love is in pain. You are going through the adversity. He doesn't ignore that. The Bible does not ignore adversity, friends. What the Bible says is that Jesus does not want us to be defined by our adversity. Amen? It's the same for us. When I'm tempted to be defined by my adversity, it's time to redefine my adversity. Paul redefined his adversity from one of being a prisoner to being an ambassador. You see, friends, you will only be at peace with your situation, not when everything is good, but when you can see the good in everything. Amen? The challenges of life are great. I'm not belittling what we have to go through. I'm highlighting the challenges. I'm not belittling the challenges of life. What some are going through now, what some have been through, what some of us may have to face in the near future. I'm not talking about belittling the pain or ignoring the pain. What I'm saying is that Christ in you is the hope of the glory and the power of God in every situation. You see, I believe often as Christians, we underestimate the things that we go through. We're so focused on kind of being a faith person, that we kind of try and ignore the seriousness of some of the stuff that we face. Especially when it comes to things like emotional pain. See, I believe we don't fully give emotional pain the recognition of just what a challenge it is to deal with it. Do you know what I'm talking about? I wrote this down. People may forget what you said to them. They may forget what you did to them, but they will never forget how you made them feel. Just think about that for a moment. And that's the power of emotional pain. When my dad, when I was a young lad, I painted my first attempt at oil painting. I've had a bit of a short-term love affair with painting over the years. I kind of do it for a time, then move on. And on this occasion, I painted a fox running through the meadows. And I'll never forget, my dad said to me, and my dad never threw away comments very easily, believe you me. He said, "Son, that's amazing." I said, "Do you think so, Dad?" He said, "I think that's amazing. The way, it's almost like 3D. He says, it's the way in which you've got the fox moving and running through, and the grass and the trees in the background. I'm thinking." And he put that painting with no frame up on the wall. Now, let me illustrate this to you. I can't remember how old I was. I can't remember the specific words that he spoke to me. I can't even remember where I was at the time that he told me that. But I can never forget how it made me feel. That's the power of feelings, friends. You see, and people may forget the specifics of what we said. They may forget the specifics or the particular details. In fact, things usually get exaggerated. But they will never forget the way in which we made them feel. That's the challenge of emotional pain. Which brings me to the final point this morning, which is living through adversity with the added dimension of the Spirit of God in my life. The Apostle Paul said, "The hope of the glory and the power of God manifested in me, in my life, is Christ in me." You see, the truth is that as a child of God, I have an enormous advantage when it comes to facing adversity. It may not seem like it at the time. Everybody can have peace to a certain dimension in their lives. Amen? But you see, I can have the peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Everybody can have a dimension of love, but you and I can receive by the Spirit the perfect love of God Himself. Everybody can know a dimension of forgiveness in their life, but you and I, through the resources of the Spirit, can know a dimension of forgiveness where I not only forgive my enemies, but I can bless those that curse me. Everybody can know a dimension of wisdom, but I can draw upon the wisdom of the infinite God who has promised to give me without measure. But friends, I have to lay hold of these things by faith. I have to grow in my faith. I have to exercise faith. And faith doesn't make things easy, brothers and sisters in Christ. It just makes things possible. Amen? Faith doesn't make things necessarily easy. It makes things possible because faith is a channel. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But you've got to remember the things that I've told you. And you see, possibly the reason why your adversity is becoming your identity is because you're starting to forget the things that Jesus told you, particularly about who you are. Paul said to Timothy to lay hold on the eternal life that's in you. He said, this is the fight of faith. This is what it's about. Lay hold on eternal life. This is what you've been called to do. This is how you've been called to live. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. He's not talking about eternal life in heaven, friends. He's talking about eternity now that God has put in your hearts. Ephesians 3 tells us that God has put eternity in the hearts of men. I carry eternal life in me. And Paul says, I want you to lay hold by faith. This is the fight of faith. At the end of his life, he says something different. He says, I have fought a good fight. But now he's telling to Timothy, this is the fight of faith you are in right now, is to lay hold on the eternal life that's in you. And that word lay hold is, we lay hold by faith on something in the same way as in the natural, you would lay hold on something with both hands firmly. When I was living in Coventry, fly fishing was one of my hobbies, and I hooked into an absolutely enormous fish, ladies and gentlemen. Well, it was a big one, right? And I played this fish, and all I could think about was fish supper, thank you, Jesus, okay? And this fish came right past. I played it right in like this. It was fighting for ages, came right past me down here. And just as it's right at the side of the lake in about 3 feet of water, the fly just nipped out of this fish's mouth, and he's just lying there on the bottom of the lake in about 3 feet of water. Well, you know what I did. I went in with a knife between my teeth. I jumped in the lake, right into the lake, splosh. I put my head was actually under the water at the time, and I grabbed this fish, and I picked it up, as slippery as it was, got my hand round its tail, and I held on to this fish, and I said to myself, you are not getting away from me, pal. Amen? And we ate very healthily for about 3 weeks. And what Paul is saying is, with determination, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. You see, in that passage in Romans, Paul says to the church in Rome that we have been given an immeasurable inheritance. But in Galatians, he writes a different letter because the Galatian church had started to let go of that inheritance. And how he described it to the Galatian church is very appropriate to us as believers in Christ. He says these words. He says, listen, a child, when he is an heir and he inherits an inheritance, he owns the vast estate. It's all his. But because he's a child and he doesn't know how to handle the inheritance, he lives his life no different to a servant that hardly has anything. And he said, that's what's happened to you guys. You've gone to living like you haven't got your inheritance, like you're not children of the living God anymore. And that child needs teachers to come along and teach him how to handle his inheritance. You see, friends, that's what growing in faith in who we are in Christ is all about. Can you see it? That's what it means to grow in faith in who we are in God. Amen? Let me just come to a conclusion here. Are the challenges in your life changing the person you are for the worst? Or is Christ in you changing you more and more into the image of God and Christ? Hold fast, believers in Christ, into who you are. It may be right in the forefront of your thinking that the adversity is changing the person who you are. You may have started to say to yourself, do you know what? I'm just a miserable person now. You may have started to say to yourself, I don't know what it is. I used to be joyful, but I just can't be joyful anymore. Maybe you say to yourself, you know, I'm never going to trust to do anything with my finances again because I'm just hopeless at money. Do not let your challenges define you. Because they are not who you are. Who you are is you are God's special possession. Amen? You are God's special possession. You see, Christ has promised that he will never leave us. He said that to his disciples. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So I am secure in who I am in Christ, not because I am just trying with my mind and everything to hold on to Christ, but because I know Christ is holding on to me. You can have that confidence. Why? Because it's who you are in God. Amen. We find joy in every day, not because life is good, but because God is good. Amen? And his mercy endures forever. Amen? God never said it would be easy, but he did say it would be worth it. And he did say that he would be with us through it. Can I hear an amen this morning? Challenge of facing adversity, friends, is we do not let our adversity change us into something other than what God has made us. We let who we are in Christ change our adversity. Amen? And as we do that, what we'll find is that somehow God even uses the worst circumstances in our lives as an opportunity for the kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? I'm conscious, Father, that whenever a reasonably large group of people come together, there is a huge diversity of what people are going through. I'm conscious, Father, that some may feel like they're just holding on, Lord. And Lord, we're not belittling the challenges that they face. So I'm asking you, Father, for special grace upon their lives. I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to come. And Lord, just allow these words to come alive in their hearts. Some of the things that I've said. As some who are facing challenges, even listen to this message again, Father. And Lord, if there's anything that through the frailty of my flesh hasn't been 100% of you, then just let those words fall to the ground. Help us to hold fast to that which is good, Father, I pray. In the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for those who are facing some the challenges of long-term illness, either in their lives or people that they love. I pray, Father, for those who are going through emotional pain, Father. And even as I've highlighted it this morning with one or two of those sayings, Father, we will never forget the way in which we feel. And some, Lord, that pain might have been highlighted this morning and brought to the surface. We remind ourselves that your word has said that Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty, to free those who are bruised in their soul. And Father, I minister your life to them this morning. I pray, Father, that for those who have felt like I did, that the pain of that situation had made me a more angry person than the person that you want me to be. Father, I pray that we would let go of our anger. And you would give us grace to release forgiveness. We're conscious, Father God, you see, we're conscious that to be driven by our feelings is almost the most human thing. We run towards that which makes us feel good. We run away from that which makes us feel bad. This is a great challenge to us, Lord. But I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us grace to forgive and to release forgiveness, Father. I pray you would save us from those feelings and those words in our hearts that say, it's just not fair. You never said it would be easy, Lord, but you did say it would be worth it. And you did say you would be with us. And so I'm asking you to be with us, Father, as we release forgiveness into situations where we're tempted to be angry and we're tempted to want recompense. Help us, O God. I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning, Father. Release forgiveness through us, Lord, I pray. Release forgiveness through us, Lord, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And help us to embrace the love of Christ and the peace of God that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. We bring every complexity of every situation to you, Father. We lay it down at the foot of the cross, as it were. And we ask you to help us, Father, so that whatever we face now, whatever we may have to face in the future, we will do it knowing that we are a child of God, that we are your treasured possession, that we will never be forsaken by you. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.